And Kinalat Lamaral saw that was a very dangerous situation. And he runs over to the chief of police. Now, there were enough policemen there that the policemen could do something to stop the angry crowd. But the policemen were also getting angry because the policemen were also going. The Maral said to the chief of police, look, you must stop the angry crowd because this thing is not clear yet until it goes to court. The judges must decide. There are two sides to this story over here. There is the side of Rab Aaron Gins, and there is the side of the villagers with Carl and Henry and the workers, and there's what's going on here. But nothing has been proven either way in the court in front of the judges. Until it goes in front of the judges, nobody can decide for sure. And if the angry crowd does anything, they're wrong. Just to get angry before all the sides are found out and investigated. So the police must stop the angry crowd before it's too late. And the chief of police said to the Maharal, you are right. And he ordered the policemen to hold back the angry crowd. And he says, go home. If you want, you can come to the trial in front of the judges. But until then, you cannot do any harm to any Jew. Because there's two sides to the story here, and it has to go in front of the judges. And Kinalach, the angry goyim, went home. And the yidden went home, but they were very afraid of what's going to happen. And Carl and Henry went over to the chief of police. They said, look, we could find more proof that will prove that Reb Aaron Gins did it. Because if he did it, he probably did it in his basement in secret. Why don't the police make a search of the basement of Reb Aaron Gins in his house and see what they find over there? After all, if they killed our brother, if he killed our brother in the basement, there must be some kind of evidence, some kind of proof, something they might find over there. And the chief of police said, well, I think we have to do that. And Kinalach, the police now go to the house of Reb Aaron Gins. And they go in, they go down to the basement, and they start searching around. They light candles, they light torches. They didn't have flashlights in those days. They didn't have electric lights. And they start searching around. Aaron Gins says, you will not find anything over here because it's a lie. Carl and Henry Kozlovsky are making a lie. Their brother stole my things and he ran away. And it's ridiculous, this whole thing that they're saying. I never brought their brother down here. I never did such a thing. We Jews don't, chas v'shalom, have any blood in our matzis. And the goyim that were there and Carl and Henry, they said, so why is our brother killed and his throat is slit and he's buried outside of the Jewish Beis HaKfaris, the Jewish cemetery, and why do those villagers see it happen? That's the proof. And Reb Aaron Gins said, somebody's making a trick over here, that's why. All of a sudden, one of the policemen says, hey, over here, there's some kind of a bag and it's got like red on it. And the police rush over there with their torches. All of a sudden, they find some kind of a bag. And it's got red. Hey, looks like blood. And all of a sudden, they open up the bag and they pull out bloody clothes. And Carl and Henry say, that's our brother's clothes. That's our brother's clothes. That's what he wears. Now, the other workers from Reb Aaron Gins's factory where they do the animal skin working, they used to wear a certain kind of clothes over there, and they recognized Kozlik's kinds of clothes that he would usually wear over there. They said, yeah, that's Kozlik's clothes. That's his clothes. And they start screaming, that proves it. That proves it. Aaron Gins killed our brother. He brought him down here, and he slit his throat, and that's why the bloody clothes are here. He wanted to hide it. Aaron Gins said, I didn't do such a thing. And Carl and Henry say, you're liars. And the workers from the factory say, you're liars. And of course, the policemen had no choice but to arrest Aaron Gins. And now the police take Aaron Gins and his wife and his three sons-in-law, because they had one big huge house like with different apartments, and his three sons-in-law lived each one in a different like a part of the house, a different apartment in the house, and he used to support them, he used to help them with money, and they used to sit and learn Torah. They were also arrested, and their wives, and even his grandchildren. Reb Aaron Gins had Einik Lach, and the policemen put them all in chains and led them through the streets to the jail. And as they led Reb Aaron Gins and all of his family through the streets to the jail, the Goyim were gathering, hundreds of them, or thousands of them, screaming, "Let's get those Jews right now for what they did!" And the police, since they had told the Maharal they're going to wait for the trial, they held the people back. Because they had respect for the Maharal. Now, Kinnalach, there's a problem over here, because many times in Prague there had been these blood libels. There had been different troubles of these blood libels against the Jews. And that's why the Maharal had made the Goylam, and that's why the Maharal had such mesiras nefesh many times to stop them. And always Hashem helped, and he found a way to stop them. But this blood libel, so far, it was different. It was carefully and sneakily made. It's very believable, right? In other words, in your mind, it looks like Chas v'Shalom, Aaron Gins did something wrong, is up to no good. He had his own plan. And it looks like the brothers were, unfortunately, in other words, they were the good guys, and Chas v'Shalom, Reb Aaron Gins is the bad guy. That's what it looks like. It's very believable. And of course, the people in the street, the Goyim, just regular people, or the people in the factory, believe everything against the Jews. It looks very bad for the Jews. And now Reb Aaron Gins is being taken to jail with his whole family. The Maharal was very worried, Kinderlach. What's going to be? They made a date for the trial. The trial was going to be Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Now this was in the month of Nisan. The Maharal knows now is a time of great danger for the Jewish people, and they have to cry out to Hashem. He announced in the shul that everyone should get up early in the morning and go to shul to say the whole Tehillim together, but Sibur. Everyone should give extra tzedakah, learn extra Torah, do extra mitzvahs. He did not want to make fasting, even though in a time of trouble many times there will be a gzeder to fast. You know why? No fasting? Because in Chodesh Nisan you should not fast. You should not fast in the month of Nisan. And of course the Yidden Kinnalach were crying out to Hashem to help them. The next day was the funeral of Kozlik. His second funeral. I mean, he already was buried in the back of the church 15 miles away from Prague by his brothers and the old gravedigger in the middle of the night, right? Remember that? Or on that Sunday, what it was. He was already buried on that Sunday in a very quiet little funeral. It didn't cost too much money except Rabbi Aaron Gins' stolen watch. And now is... Actually, it's his third funeral, right? Because he was buried one time in back of the church. Then they dug him up and they buried him in front of the Yiddish Beis HaKfaris, right? In the middle of the night. And now they dug him up again and they're going to bury him now a third time with a big, big funeral all of Prague. Now, he was in the big church of Prague. It does not say it was Tadas' church. It was the big green church. I think Tadas was already like finished before this happened. But he was in the big, big church of Prague. And Kinnalach, thousands of people were there, and the Galachim were there, and the big Galach now was standing in front of all the people, and the dead Kozlik was laying there ready to be buried, and the funeral was ready to start, and they're going to give him a big, big honor, like the most important person had passed away, and they're going to put him in a very important place with a lot of speeches. And the Galachim were making speeches, and most of the speeches had not only good stuff about this Kozlik, which they try to find something good to say about him, but things against the Jews. And they even announced that from now on, because of this, what happened, any Christian that works for a Jew should not go to work for a Jew. Now, of course, many Jewish families had goyim working for them, and the Galachim said, do not go into a Jewish house, because you don't know what's going to happen to you if you go into a Jewish house. And then they told the people, the goyim, those of you that go shopping to Jewish stores, never go to a Jewish store. Only buy from our fellow Christians, and do not go to buy from Jews. Now, Kinalach, later on, this ruined the businesses because they didn't have customers. A lot of people that have stores and have businesses, they do business with goyim, and now the goyim didn't want to do business with any Jew. And Kinalach, the Galach, says, before we start the funeral, we will keep the rule of the church, which is the killer, the murderer, Aaron Gins, must come before the dead person, Kozlik. The Galach says, the rule of the church is that the killer must apologize to the one he killed. And so, they called the chief of police, who was there. The chief of police was there by the funeral, and they said, according to the rule of the church, you must bring Aaron Gins to the church to apologize. And then the Galach took out of his pocket a needle and a thread. And he said, also, he must fix what he did. He must sew the neck of the dead one. Because he slit the neck, he must sew it up. And Kinalach, the chief of police, had to follow the rule of the church. And he, with a lot of policemen and a lot of guards and a lot of soldiers, because they knew there was going to be big trouble unless there was a lot of protection, they went to the jail and they took Aaron Gins out of the jail. Still in chains, but at least he could walk. And they said, you're coming with us. Rabbi Aaron Gins said, where am I going? The trial is going to be later. It's not the trial yet. And they didn't look exactly like they want to set him free. You're going to the big church of Prague. What? I don't want to go to a church. You have no choice. And they made him go through the streets. Ooh, the goyim wanted to get him. Thousands of goyim yelling and screaming. Rabbi Aaron Gins was afraid. Of course, he said Shema Yisrael, and he was having as much betachin and emunah in Hashem as he could, but this was a scary thing. And now the chief of police, with the police guards, with the soldiers, take Rabbi Aaron Gins to the big church. I don't know if he had to go in, or if I don't know if it was in front, whatever it was, it's bad enough even to go in front of the church, chas shalom, to go in. And thousands of people are there. And now the Galach goes to Rabbi Aaron Gins. Of course, the Galach is dressed in his tumas, with his getchkes, with all of his avodah zarahs, with all of his klippis. And he said, you, the murderer of this poor boy, this young man, Kozlik, as he was called by his dear friends and workers in the factory, as you, Aaron Gins, who murdered this poor young man, must confess. You have to tell on yourself. And this will, first of all, you must ask forgiveness. You must ask, and I'm sorry. You must say, I'm sorry that you killed this poor Kozlik. You have to tell on yourself. You have to say, I'm sorry. You have to ask his forgiveness. You have to ask him to forgive you. And then you must take this needle and thread. And he held up the needle and thread, and he pointed to the cut on the neck, and he said, you must sew up the neck that you cut. And all the goyim start screaming, yes, he has to sew the neck. Make the Jews sew up the neck. And Rabbi Arngin said loud, he says, just like I did not kill this person and I did not cut his neck, I will not say I'm sorry and I will not sew it up because I did not do anything. And the goyim screaming, you did, tell on yourself. And the Galak says, look, this is a chance for you to fix your soul. You have done a terrible thing, and you will get a big, big punishment for it. A little way to fix yourself is just to say you're sorry and tell that you did it, and of course to sew the neck. Now, get busy. And the Galak puts the needle and thread right up to Reb Arngin's. And Arngin said again, my soul does not need to be fixed because I did not do anything wrong here. In fact, I only helped Kozlik. After his accident, which was his fault and not mine, I at least let him still work in my factory instead of let him go, and I at least paid him half the money, which I really didn't have to do because he wasn't doing his work properly at all. And I even brought him to my house on Purim and let him also work that he should have extra money just serving, and I let him eat delicious food. And it was easy and he had a good time also. And I also paid him very nicely for it, thinking that would help him out. And instead, what does he do? He goes and steals things from my house and takes advantage and runs away. And somebody invented this whole story and this whole trick. I never did anything wrong. And therefore, I will not tell on myself except the truth. And I will not sew the neck because I didn't do anything to that neck. And Kinalak the Goyim wanted to get Arngins on the spot. But of course, the guards and the police and the chief of police held them back. And they took Reb Arngins back to the jail. And they buried Kozlik a third time now. They gave him a funeral fit for a king. They buried him with great honors, great speeches, trumpets blowing, uniforms, all kinds of fancy badges, flowers and roses, and whatever else they do, which I don't know what they do. And they buried Kozlik now behind the big church. Now, from that time, from the time of the funeral until the trial, the Maharal and the Yidden knew it's a very dangerous time. And it was a very terrible time. The Goyim were not coming into the Jewish stores. Any non-Jewish helpers were not coming to work in a Jewish home. A Jew was afraid to go out in the street because the Goyim were all fired up and all full of the speeches that that Galachim had made against Jews. And they put poison and hatred into their hearts. And the Yidden were davening to Hashem every morning. The Maharal had said to say Tehillim and to give extra tzedakah, daven with more kavana and do more mitzvahs, do whatever they can, crying out to Hashem. And the trial was going to be Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So that means this happened in Nisan, sometime between Purim and Pesach. They were going to go through Iyar, through Nisan, the end of Nisan, Iyar, and Rosh Chodesh Sivan would be the big trial. Now, till now, the Maharal had looked good in the eyes of the police and even the king, because each time there were problems against the Jews, the Maharal had shown that they were fake, but now it looks very, very much like the Jews are at fault now, Chas Shalom. And the police were even now losing their respect for the Jews and the Maharal. So he was very worried. That night, the Maharal is in his house. He's very serious. He's thinking what to do. And Kinalach if you try everything in the regular way, sometimes you've tried everything and the regular way doesn't work out. There's no help in the regular way. What can Allah by a Jew, by a Yid, especially by a tzaddik, like the Maharal? There's the regular way and then there's a higher than a regular way. Now, what does a Yid prefer? What is the better way? To go higher than the regular way or the regular way? Well, actually, can Allah is going to learn, Be'ezus Hashem, that the best way to go is really a regular way, because Hashem made the world in a regular way. Only if that doesn't work out, sometimes you can do something completely higher than the regular way. And also there are times called the Chathila River, where you go completely higher than the regular way, and you don't do it all the regular way. Now, it depends. This is not a simple thing. It's not black and white. For example, there's a little story. I'll tell you inside of this big story, just for fun. I'll tell you this little story. There was a chasana once, and the Alter Rebbe and Levi Yitzchak Obeditchev were together by the chasana. And it was right after the chuppah, and now all the people are going now after the chuppah to the big hall for the big part of the, you know, of the party, the big reception where there's going to be dancing and singing and a big meal, a sudas mitzvah. And there was a door, and everybody was now going through the door, but of course a lot of people going through one door, there's a long, long line. The men are going through the men's door, and there was a door for the women. They're also having a long line. There were a lot of people by the chasana, a very big chasana. And the tzaddikim, Levi Yitzchak Obeditchev and Alter Rebbe, after the chuppah, had said mazel tov to the chasana and kala, and to all the different relatives. And now it's time for them to go to their place in the chasana at the head table. But they were going to have to go now through the line. There were so many people. Now, maybe if they would have noticed right away that tzaddikim are there, they would let them go in the front of the line or something. Who knows? It was nighttime, it was dark, and there were so many people there. And Levi Yitzchak Obeditchev and the Alter Rebbe now were getting ready to leave the area of the chuppah to go towards the hall to the line. And Levi Yitzchak Obeditchev said to Alter Rebbe, "You know what we'll do? We know all kinds of secret things from the Torah. Let's just say a few secret words, and we'll go right through the wall, right to our place." They could have done that. With different special things that tzaddikim know how to do, they could have just avoided the line, and all they have to do is all of a sudden sort of disappear from where they are, and go right to their place, and all of a sudden they're there, and they can do it so quick nobody would notice, because there was a crowd inside. They have the koyach to do that. Now, is that a regular way or not a regular way? They could go not in a regular way. Kfitzas haderech, or whatever you want to call it. Now, to disappear and go through a wall, and all of a sudden go to a different place, and not go through a line, is that a regular way or not a regular way? It's not a regular way. The Alter Rebbe said, no, everybody's going in the line. Let's wait in the line. The Alter Rebbe wanted just to go the regular way. Or like we all know that the Baal Shem Tov had a chance not to have to pass away in the regular way. Hashem offered to send the horses and the wagon of fire from the Himmel and take the Baal Shem Tov alive into the Himmel. Just like for Eliyahu Navi and other certain tzaddikim. And the Baal Shem Tov said, no thank you. I'll go just like other Jews go. Just like other Jews pass away and they go into the ground, I'll also go that way. Because tzaddikim know that the regular way that Hashem created is really even higher than a miracle way. But sometimes, like the Maharal knows and other tzaddikim and Yidden know, that sometimes if you've done everything you can in the regular way, you sometimes have to do something in a higher way. So that night, Kinalach, very late at night, the Maharal made a shailas chaloim. a Shaila in a dream. Now, exactly how this works, I'm not sure. All I know is a tzaddik either says something or writes something or does a special thing, and he asks Hashem that, please, in my dream, Hashem, I cannot figure out what to do. We have a serious problem. We need special help from you. Please, tonight when I'm sleeping, in my dream, show me a sign to help us. Something to help us. And as we know, tzaddikim, even in their sleep, even in their dreams, are close to Hashem, and they even can learn Torah and find out special things in their dreams. And so the Maharal made a Shailas Chalayim. He fell asleep. And that night, Hashem answered him in the dream. And the Maharal had a dream, and there were seven words in his dream. The Maharal woke up from the dream, and he remembered the dream. These are the words he saw. Vechakarta, vesho'alta, vedorashta, heitev, v'shavu banim ligvulam. Now these are words from Psukim Kenalach. It says, v'chakarta, v'sha'alta, v'dorashta. Those are words that mean you should investigate, you should ask, you should look into it. You should find out very well. These are the words that it says by judges when they're finding out a case into court. They have to find out every little detail and every little thing. You have to look very closely into it. Then it says, Vishavu Vanim, the children return Ligvulam to their borders. Children return to their borders, like to their home where they belong. Now the Maharal was very happy when he woke up. Because this means not that the problem is solved, but at least there's some kind of a way to find out something to help. These are clues. These are clues now to a puzzle. It means that there are more parts to the puzzle to discover. It's not just locked up. Before, it seemed like everything was finished. And everything is chas v'shalem against the Jews. Now, because Hashem answered the Maharal in his dream, the Maharal knows there's something more to do. And if he works hard and fast and carefully, he can find out more. And hopefully, the Yidden will have a Yeshua, a helping, a saving. The Maharal is thinking, what do these words mean? The children return to their borders, to their home. Oh, all of a sudden, it's very clear. The whole question, the whole mystery, what exactly happened to Kozlik? It looks from the proof till now that Aaron Ginz killed him in his basement, and that's why the clothes were found there, and he was buried outside of the Yiddish cemetery, and it looks like the Jews did this terrible thing, and Aaron Ginz was arrested. This is the proof in favor of Chas v'Shalom, the other side, against the Jews. But if they can prove more of what happened to Kozlik, of course, that's going to help them. All of a sudden, the Maharal says, I have to find out where Kozlik comes from. Nobody seems to know too much about where they come from. The Maharal says, how am I going to find out? I have to find out from the workers that worked at the factory of the animal skins. Now, the factory of the animal skins had been closed down, right? The police had closed it down. But the Maharal could find out, because he's, you know, at the different gatherings of the Goyim, he saw who the workers were. He knew who Carl and Henry Kozlovsky were, and some of the workers. If he could somehow find out from them, maybe not Carl and Henry, but from other people, because Carl and Henry, you're not going to talk, where does Kozlik come from? That means the borders, the home. He probably went home. What do the words mean? The children return home. He probably went home to his house. He probably went home. If the Maharal finds out about his home and what happened over there, he'll have some kind of proof that's going to help the Yidden. And so, now it doesn't say in this story, somehow, some way, through special people, spies, who knows what they did. All it says in this story is that the Maharal found out through certain people that talked to the workers, probably in a very quiet, sneaky way, in other words, like a spy. A spy doesn't let on exactly what he wants from you. He wants certain information. They found out where Kozlik comes from, where the brothers come from. Some kind of a town far away, about 15 miles from Prague. The Maharal sent two trustworthy people that were close to the Maharal. He called in these two people. It wasn't Yossel the Goylem and Avram Chaim, it was two other people. And he said, go to the town where the Kozlovsky brothers come from and find out whatever you can about